Okay. Let's open up to Galatians chapter 5. And we're going to get back to Paul's warning here. Remember last week we talked about keeping the gospel simple. Don't complicate it. I remember seeing this sign that used to say kiss, and it means keep it simple, stupid. One guy told me, he said, you really need to look at that. So I did. And, you know, honestly, people make Jesus complicated. People make the gospel complicated. Jesus made it easy. The same way the rabbis made everything difficult, more difficult than what it already was, they made it even more difficult. Even today, Christians tend to make the gospel and the things of the Bible way harder than what it actually is. So I'm going to look here, Galatians chapter 5. Verse 1 says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. What he's telling us is that you have been born again. You have been set free. You've been liberated in Christ Jesus. Do not pick up the law. Don't go back to that yoke of bondage. Stay as far away from that as you possibly can. I know there's preachers running around that want to say, well, that just gives you balance. I say, no, that gives you confusion and frustration. Don't try to keep the law. Stay in grace. You stay in grace, you stay in Jesus, you're not going to be breaking the law anyway. Now, let's go through the rest of this warning here. It says, behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you're fallen from grace. I spent a lot of time worrying about falling from grace. I heard somebody talk about that, and people said, you know, if you do this and this and this, you're going to fall from grace. And I was so paranoid of falling from grace. What I didn't know is the way to fall from grace is right here. Those of you who are justified by the law are fallen from grace. So, if you think your good works, your good actions, your good merit, and your talent are good enough to keep you in right standing with God, you fall from grace. That's not a good place to be. You cannot earn God's grace. You can only receive it. So let's look down to chapter 6, verse 15. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. A new creature. A new creature in Christ. That is the only thing that matters. Did you get born again? Yes, then you are a new creature in Christ. You have got the circumcision of your heart. That's the only thing that matters. Now look at verse 13. It says, for neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. There are people that want you to do certain things. They say, you must do this, you must do that, you must do this, you don't do that, and you don't do this. And they don't keep those commandments themselves. They just frustrate people. They confuse people. And then people give up. Because they see them not doing the things that they tell them not to do and doing the things that they tell them not to do. And then they wonder why. And then they get frustrated. Now let's go back to Galatians chapter 1, verse 3. Galatians chapter 1, verse 3. That grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Right there. Said grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Grace. The Bible tells us that the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came. And if we look in there, we'll find out that grace and truth is Jesus. He is grace and truth. When we need grace, which is all the time, then we need to run to Jesus. When you run to Jesus and you see what he did for you on the cross, you're in grace. Look at verse 6 now. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. Now there, I take that personally. You wonder why I spend so much time just reading verse after verse after verse? Because that's the gospel. I'm not going to read some doctrine to you. I'm not going to read something that just I heard somewhere on the internet and that maybe this is the way churches ought to be. The only gospel is right here. And it's Jesus Christ and him crucified. If it does not lead to Jesus Christ and him crucified, it is not the gospel. So what is some things about Jesus Christ and him crucified? Number one, your sins have been forgiven, right? If you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus back to life and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved, right? You're justified freely by his grace. That means you've already been judged. Your past has been washed away. It's been dealt with. It's gone. You're a new creature in Christ. So what about healing? Is healing part of the gospel? Healing is part of salvation, so that's part of the gospel. So the baptism of the Holy Spirit, would that be part of the gospel? That would be part of the gospel, because after he went to heaven, he sent Holy Spirit here to be our comforter, right? And to baptize us with the Holy Spirit. these sound like some simple things, but a lot of these things are things that get cut out. Some preachers just will not ever mention the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There's some preachers that don't believe that healing has already been paid for. There's some preachers that are going to have you on your knees every Sunday asking God to forgive you for something he's already forgiven you of. sometimes I know that a lot of them do it out of a good heart. They really want people to succeed, but sometimes people do it out of control. Strike the fear of God into somebody's heart. That's not biblical. Strike the love of God into somebody's heart and watch them succeed. Watch them flourish. God does not operate out of fear. He operates out of love. Let's go to Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. It says, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you? Who has bewitched you? Said, this only what I learn of you, received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? How does that happen? Sometimes people act like, well, that just doesn't happen in the Christian world. It happens all the time. It happens all the time. We'll run around and we'll say, you're saved by grace. And you are saved by grace. That means you're born again. That means you qualify for all of God's blessings. You qualify for His healing. You qualify for His provision. You qualify for His protection. You qualify for everything that you need. Okay, He's your creator. That means He's taken responsibility to take care of you. You qualify. You qualify because of the blood of Jesus. So how do we get that mixed up? Say, okay, yes, you're born again. You're saved by grace. You're born again. Now, in order to qualify for healing, you're going to have to fast and pray. In order to qualify for finances, you're going to have to do this and do that. In order to qualify for deliverance, you're going to have to do this and do that. What are they doing? So, in order to get this blessing, your performance is going to have to be perfect. What is it? They just put you under the law. You're going to have to not do the things the law says. You're going to have to do the things the law tells you to do in order to qualify for the blessing. And then if you don't do it, then you got to start all over. You got to ask God to forgive you and you got to start all over. I've heard that nonsense. I believed that nonsense. It's nonsense. You qualify for the blessings of God because Jesus died on the cross for you. He shed His blood. You got born again. You said, be my Lord and Savior. You are 100% qualified for His blessings. Why ain't I seeing them? Jesus said, to learn of me. A lot of people aren't seeing the blessings of God because they're not learning of Jesus. They're not taking His word into them, seeing what He's given them. You know, there's a lot of people that don't know that healing has already been provided for them. They don't know that it's a birthright. Yes, it's a blessing, but because you got born again, you have a heritage, you have a covenant to be healed. Because what somebody else did, not you, what somebody else. A perfect picture of grace. One of the best pictures of grace you'll ever see is watching the adventure where Moses took the people of Israel out of Egypt. Did you know while they were in Egypt that they were in a covenant of grace? God made a covenant with Abraham, and He didn't change His mind about that covenant. Now these guys evidently got mistaken, and they got lost. They ended up in Egypt, and then they got in bondage. But they were still under a covenant of grace. They didn't know much about it. Moses showed up, got them out of there, got them out into the wilderness, and these guys, well, got them to the Red Sea, and they whined and complained, and Moses parted the Red Sea. I mean, that should make you repent of almost everything you ever believed about God, wouldn't it? And they walked through there, their enemies got drowned, and they were walking free. Yeah. I love it when science proves the Bible right. Well, anyway, they're walking out through the desert. And they had a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And they kept going. And God ended up feeding them manna from heaven. He ended up feeding them quails. He ended up giving them water out in the wilderness. These guys complained and griped and murmured and balked all the way through. And he still took care of them. That sounds like grace, doesn't it? They didn't get in trouble until they got to Mount Sinai, where they told God, said, "You show us what we need to do in order to be righteous in your sight." So God said, "Okay, here's the Ten Commandments." And they made a golden calf. Almost immediately. But then they struggled for thousands of years under the law, because they never could keep all the law. So they never did stand righteous before God on their own. The only way that they made it was God, in His grace, gave them animal sacrifices so they could have shedding of blood, so that they could have atonement. God found fault with the law in that it was weak through the flesh, so He sent Jesus to set us free from that. Jesus was the only one that could keep the law. Verse 5 said, "He that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" So let's reason that out for just a minute. I got caught in that trap because I wanted to do miracles. I wanted to see great things happen. I seen them on TV. I seen people doing things, and I thought, you know, and they said, "Well, you got to fast and you got to pray and you got to do this and you got to do that." So I thought, So I tried all that and I got even more frustrated. Why? And I thought that if I fasted long enough, and if I prayed hard enough, and I read my Bible diligently long enough, and I did these things, and I did these things, then I would be able to operate in the things of God. Which, basically, I was saying that my works would be good enough to qualify me to operate in the things of the Spirit. No. Because then it's about you. It's got to be all about Him. Jesus said in John 14, verse 12, He said, "Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do." Thank God I ran into those verses. Thank God I ran into those verses. Because then I thought, well, okay. That it's not, but people in their trying to figure out how to operate in things of God, try to encourage people, they try, "Well, do this and then this will happen. Well, do this and then that'll happen." No, believe on Jesus and this will happen. It's Him. He's the one doing it. Now, a lot of these things are good things to do. Don't get me wrong. A lot of these things are really good things to do. They'll sharpen you. They'll do a lot of things. But it's not to qualify you for the blessing. It's not to qualify you for the power of God. Now, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. We call Abraham the father of the faith, and actually we end up, when we get born again, we become the seed of Abraham. How did Abraham become the righteousness of God? He believed God. It is accounted to him for righteousness. He just believed God. Abraham had a lot of ways he could have done a lot of works. The only thing the Bible tells us about Abraham standing in righteousness is he believed God. He cut a covenant with God, and he just believed that God would do what he said he would do. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. That's us. The scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. That's us. We're of faith. We're blessed with faithful Abraham. We're blessed with him. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. That's how the curse happens. Pick up the law and try to receive righteousness by the works of your flesh. Says, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. And here's the thing about law keeping. If you're going to do that, you're going to have to do it perfectly all the time, or that curse is on you. Now, how does the curse come about? By keeping the law, by trying to keep the law. You've been redeemed from the curse. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. When I first stumbled onto those scriptures, I thought, man, that is my ticket. I'm free. And I told a pastor that one time, and he said, no, that's only spiritual blessings. That doesn't qualify you for any financial blessings or anything else. It's just spiritual blessings. I thought, But I didn't have enough Bible in me to understand how to fight that off, because I hadn't gotten to verse 29 yet. Every time you read that verse, you read verse 29. If you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. If you're born again, you belong to Christ. That makes you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. What did Abraham have? Absolutely everything. Melchizedek said, blessed are you, Abraham, possessor of heaven and earth. That pretty much covers it, don't it? There's not much left to chance there. Now listen, he said, possessor of heaven and earth. So that's not only spiritual blessings, that's physical blessings on this earth. He pretty much covered it. So how do we receive it? Just like that, you receive it. The same way you get born again is the same way you're going to receive anything else from heaven. You're going to believe it in your heart. And then you're going to confess it with your mouth to receive it. Jesus gave us a really good key to receiving the blessings of God when he got to the tomb of Lazarus. And he went up there and he said, Father, I thank you that you hear me. I thank you that you always hear me. And then Lazarus came forth. Jesus thanked his way into a miracle. So how do you put this into action? You find a promise in the Bible. You find it in there where it says that by his stripes you were healed. So instead of asking God to heal you, why don't you say, thank you, Father. Your word says that by his stripes I was healed. You just received it. You thanked him for it. When you receive something from somebody, you say thanks, don't you? Well, we spend a lot of time asking God to do something that he's already done instead of thanking him for what he's already done. And we wonder why we're not getting what he's done for us. Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Here's the thing. If you're doing anything to gain brownie points, or I remember when I was a kid, I used to go to church and I'd see these chalkboards of people's names by them, and they'd have a star. The kids would have a star by their name every time they showed up. Some of them kids had 30 stars, you know. I'm down here with one or two, you know. They all had these stars by their names. And it's just something that stuck with me. And I wasn't able to collect very many stars. And when I got born again, that was still in my mind. I just wasn't able, it seemed like, to connect enough good things in my life to receive what I needed. Why? Well, because I was counting on the works of my flesh to qualify me for the blessings of God, and that won't work. You have to count on Jesus and what he did in order to be qualified for the blessings. Once you got born again, you got qualified. Find out about these blessings and receive them. Over to chapter 3, verse 23. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. Once you get born again, you're free from the law. You're not under that. For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Now there's a teaching, and I see people saying this all the time. Well, we're all children of God. No, you're not. If you're not born again, you are not a child of God. you belong to Satan, 100%. I don't care how many times you've been to church. I don't care how many good things you've done. If you are not born again, you are not a child of God. That's the Bible right there. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Now, how do you get baptized into Christ? Say, Jesus be my Lord. And then you got baptized into the body of Christ. That's the one baptism that is necessary for salvation. To be born again. Water baptism. That's a great thing. But you still get to go to heaven even if you don't get water baptized. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is a great thing. But you still get to go to heaven even if you don't get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Okay, let's get this wrapped up here. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. Verse 28 says, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. There is neither Baptist, there is no Methodist, there is no Catholic, there is no Word of Faith, there is no Charismatic, there is no Cowboy Church, there is none of this division. Once you get baptized into the body of Christ, you are in Jesus. You are in the body of Christ, period. Tear down the fences that keep you separated and start coming in unity. People ask me all the time, say, are you part of the Cowboy Church? No. No. Well, what are you? So I'm a believer. Well, you got to be something. I am. I'm a believer. I'm part of the body of Christ. So we got something in common. If you're born again, we got something in common. If you're not born again, we still got something in common. You need Jesus? I know him. You see that? That verse right there. If people would look at that verse, they'd drop a lot of this nonsense and stop fighting. You're part of the body of Christ. If you're born again, you are part of the body. Jesus is the head, and we are the body. Okay, we're going to stop there because we're not going to get through the rest of it. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for your word. We praise you for everything that grace has done in our lives. We thank you for everything that grace does for us every day. We thank you that you sent grace to us, and we called him Jesus. Everything that we could not do for ourselves is wrapped up in Jesus. Everything that we need is wrapped up in Jesus. Jesus is the only way that we can ever be blessed. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay.